Good morning.
Good morning, Mark.
Good to see you. You braved the terrifying storm. I hear some of you may have said, "Oh, this is my excuse to stay home." It's the first day of winter. So grateful to be here with you today. Our talk today will be a panel, and I'd like to introduce our panelists. So my name is Ben Connolly. I'm the assistant guiding teacher at Minnesota Zen Meditation Center. And today we're graced and honored to have two monastics from the Bamboo Forest Truklam Vietnamese Zen tradition, which was revived by the great master Thich Thanh Thu, who's about 95 years old now, I think. 101.
101.
First, I'd like to introduce Venerable Don Quy. Don Quy came to the U.S. to study counseling in his 20s and was ordained as a monk 23 years ago. He has been practicing at Dai Dong Monastery in San Diego for 20 years, where he is currently serving as abbot at the request of his late teacher. Thank you for coming today. And Venerable Thuan Bac, is the former abbess of Yunnan in Sacramento. And she was ordained in 1986 by the great master Thich Thanh Thu. Now she leads retreats all over the world. And even though her bio doesn't say it, I know she has translated approximately 20 books from English into Vietnamese Dharma books, which are an amazing effort and a treasure for many people. Today, our format is each of us is going to talk briefly. And then we're going to make most of the time of the Dharma talk just for questions and answers. We'll see what happens. I think I will begin with my remarks. I'm just so grateful this is happening. We have been in retreat here. This weekend, we have been hosting in this building a joint retreat with MZMC and the local Bamboo Forest community, which is based at Gioc Tam Monastery in Eagan. So just really wonderful to have been together with some new friends. And, we wanted to talk a little bit about harmony in community today. And I like to think that having this joint retreat, which has involved shaking things up, in case you haven't noticed, those of you who've been here, really honors the founder of this temple, Dainin Katagiri Rochi. I have a photograph of Katagiri Rochi standing in front of that tree in the backyard with Thich Nhat Hanh, another representative of the Vietnamese Zen tradition, although a different lineage of Vietnamese Zen. He made room for these connections, and I hope we can continue to make room for such connections. And it's been fun. We've had opportunities to do a number of ceremonies. And ceremony is like dancing, but really slowly, and singing, but sort of plainly. But we have just come together with minimal planning. And trusted that our bodies would know what to do. I believe bodies actually naturally know how to be reverent, kind, attentive, gracious. When we bow, it's not that hard to bow. When I had a little child, he would sometimes just bow. I didn't teach him to bow. You might think Soto Zen is slow, but we're actually really fast. So we get up in the morning and we sit for a half an hour and then we walk around this room. It takes about 15 minutes to get around the room. And then we sit down for a half an hour. That's very fast because if you go to a bamboo forest temple, you just sit for 2 hours without moving, which is why I don't have any more legs. I think I recall learning that style of meditation in Vietnam. But also in the bamboo forest tradition, there's a practice when you get up to take time to wake up the body carefully by touching the body, massaging it. So I feel like I should apologize to all our friends who are from the bamboo forest tradition, because when Zazen ends, all the Soto Zen people are standing up and all the bamboo forest people are sitting on the floor going, are they jack in the boxes? But we can be different. It is unavoidable. And yet we can come together. How wonderful. How wonderful. You know, we have work practice here in the afternoon. And I came up at the end of work practice, and Jay, who's the assistant Tenzo, said, the floor in the porch is soaking wet. We can't serve the tea in there. But can I serve it in here? I said, oh, yeah. So I told him, just put it up in there. That's good. And then I went down and got some rags, and I came up, and it was like tea's supposed to be in like 3 minutes. And I saw a bunch of people on the floor. I know I saw Melinda, I saw Venerable Dong Hui down on the floor, wiping the floor up so that this place could be beautiful for when we come together in here. This is not a complicated thing we're doing. And, you know, we've done a little bit of meditation. Well, maybe many hours. And, you know, all kinds of things happen. Everything that can happen while you're looking at a wall. So I don't even know all the things, all the emotions, all the stories, all the absence of stories, all the sensations, the sounds, all different. Every moment different, but something is always the same. It's just this. It's never something else. It's always just awareness. And this we all share every moment. Okay, well, thank you. I wonder if you would like to say something, Venerable Tonbach.
I think I am very grateful to be here. And maybe today is the third time. And I think I have a connection with Soto Zen, American, and this Zen Center. Not now, but maybe from previous life, because no beginning and no ending. So I try to do the best in Dharma teaching, and this is personally my chance to come to this country, so I have chance to translate the English Zen books, so I learn in this, not only translate, because the teaching of my master is maybe the foundation, very shortly, almost practicing in daily activities, very, very shortly. But because I translate the English Zen books, so I learn more in details. For this reason, I am very grateful to this country. So I am getting old, but I like to come here. So that's it.
Well, once again, thank you, everybody, because you're here, so I'm here. meditation teacher say you can attack a shower at the twice at the same water. Yeah. So then this is my first time see you here now, and this is me the last time. Yeah. So it means next 5 minutes we come back, we never be the same that position. I mean, from here the next few seconds, and then your body, our body changing. So this is my home, and you are my relative. Yeah, and so wherever I go, the monk have no home. Yeah, but wherever you go, any corner you go, you accept that, and then you have responsibility of that. So I'm tell you the most happy when they come here in last Friday afternoon and yesterday and today, to me have no time and no place. Yeah. And so what I'm seeing you here is this time, it means the last time I see you here. So the next time when they come back, man never be the same. We never be the same. So you cannot take a shower twice at the same drop of water. So it's one of us. We have 100 years to count that. And then practice mindful. We have to count out carefully. Some we count out a couple years. Some we make over 100 years. So it depends how we count that. Yes. And then one of the technique that Master Ben teacher, and then before that, and now Master Ben, he continue, and then the other teacher about the Zen. Zen in Japanese means meditation. Meditation is in the mind. Anyone of us will be mindful with any activity. So that means we practice Zen. Even though we're here, and then your body here, we body is here, but our mind is off. We're not Zen. People, they don't do Zen right now. But they go outside, they're driving, every corner they know exactly, every moment they know exactly, they better than us. So Zen is in the mind. Everywhere we go with the full mind, we count out our 10 correctly. So that's the I would like to share to you, and respect your moment, because you never go back the same. Even though you're sitting right there, and then the next moment you come back, you never sitting exactly the same, different. And then, so if you respect this moment, and then it instantly, it's so you respect the people surround you, especially the your parents, your teacher, the people who are supporting that. Yeah. So we travel our life with a lot of gratitude. Yeah. Without them, we cannot be here. We cannot be survive. Yeah. So the Buddha teaches there four things we have to remember. If we don't remember, we cannot become anything. The first thing, we have to respect and gratitude to our parents. Yeah. Even though they're not here, but we're here because of them. Secondly, we have to respect our teacher. When we roll up with the head empty, we can do anything. So, and the teacher is mean the friend around. People teach us anything. Thirdly, we have respect government. We cannot be here with people shoulder right now they on the frontier to protect us here. If they're not there, you know, right now, we feel unsecure. And lastly, we have respect the people surround us. You know, every morning when you wake up, you have first step, two step, people make clothes, this and this, and the car, and even though the water, everything, we cannot survive without it. So there are four things you have to remember. And thank you so much for being here. I'm happy to be here at this time. And it's such joyful. And every moment is brand new for me. Yeah, I tell you very honestly, it's my life. So because like just here, this moment right here and now, if you take a camera or a picture, and this night you never see the exactly the same. I'm sure. If we after this we come back, you know, different position, and then your body getting die and die. You don't know. So respect this moment here and support each other to live harmony, and don't hurt each other. Yeah. So thank you.
Well, thank you. So we just thought it would be nice to just make room for questions. So I'll say a few things about questions. This is a big room, and then there are a lot of people online. So if you want to ask a question, and we may also have to translate some questions. So my request is short questions. If you are speaking, please take a big breath. Trust your heart, the theme of this retreat. Speak for the whole group. If you're online, if you could use the hand raise function, if you'd like to ask a question, that would be great. So, the floor is open.
Does the Buddha or Zazen have a teaching on technology, right use of technology and the right disposition?
Who's like the translator?
Yes, thưa thầy, câu hỏi là Đức Phật hay là trong thiền có dạy về cái cách dùng những cái dụng cụ điện tử thời đại ngày nay hay không? Cái cách dùng nó như thế nào và cái cách mà mình gạt nó qua một bên, để nó qua một bên như thế nào?
You are the leader.
So, well, I can say something, which is I don't see, I haven't seen a lot of teachings in Buddhist literature about technology. The only thing that's coming to mind right now is when the Buddha is teaching mindfulness in the Four Foundations of Mindfulness Sutra. He says, when we observe the breathing, we should observe it like a skilled lathe worker working a lathe. So they have lathes to turn wood. And so the practice of using what was probably a pretty advanced technology, I would think, at the time is equated with being mindful of the breath and the care and the attention with which you do it. So that's the only thing that comes to mind.
May I summarize? Yes. Yeah, so thầy đang nói là thầy không có biết là có cái kinh Phật dạy về những cái thời đại hiện tại máy móc, nhưng mà có một cái bài kinh thời đó thì là chánh niệm khi dùng, và giống như là một cái người mà vừa cụ biết thì dùng cái hơi thở chánh niệm để mà mình biết thân của mình như thế nào.
May I add some idea? Of course, at Buddha time, there is no electronic instrument. But we can learn from the teachings of the Buddha. It is beyond time and beyond space. So how to understand about electronical instrument? So I think this is my opinion. We can use everything because beyond time, beyond space, but don't forget the goal. The goal is trillionics. We can use our body. We can use this one, everything to get our wisdom. So this is not, for my opinion, not the problem of to take off or to use electronic. But we should be master of electronic instruments. If we are attached to electronic, oh, it's time, I should phone. So stop, let it go. But if we are master, so we can use it. So because our Zen, Vietnamese Zen method, the problem is about attachment or not attachment. So we are free to use, because nowadays electronic instrument is very useful if we are not attached. That's it.
May I just add one thing and I never come back?
Please.
I see her, she's on the computer all the time. She's on the computer. And I'm like, wow, what a nun for 40 years of practice. But then I realized that she did all the translation on the computer, and she knows kind of how to take her body, or she called it form to, you know, on proper work with mindfulness. So I just want to share that with you.
Would you like to comment on this question?
I think that's enough.
Okay, go ahead.
My question, yesterday we were talking about when nothing arises, you are enlightened. What relationship does that have with love? Because love can arise, but how do we channel that so we don't get attached to the love?
Nhưng thưa thầy, câu hỏi là hôm qua mình nói về phương pháp thân thiện, hoặc là trong tất cả các hoạt động, thì khi mà mình yên và không có cái niệm gì khởi lên, có nghĩa là cái đó là một cái sáng đỏ hiện nay trên đất. Và như vậy thì nếu mà mình có khởi lên một cái lòng từ bi hay yêu thương gì đó, thì làm thế nào mình có thể kết nối với cái đó và không có bị dính mắc bởi cái sinh phân tử của mình bên trong.
Loving is different. The man come to you, say, I love you. And then the next day, you know, he treat you bad. So it means loving but not kindness. Yeah. So in Buddhism, we put another word before, is loving kindness. You love things but you respect to be kindness. And loving kindness is equal like compassion. And then compassion or love and kindness, they don't have a second opinion. They don't have condition. Yeah. If you like this, I love you, and tomorrow you're different and then I love you. That means condition. That means not the kindness. So that's why it happened in the family when when the man, they know a girl, and then he bring home, and then the girl getting old, and then then he does not love her like the way he used to. It's not kindness. It's not compassion. It comes from his second opinion. But beauty now is less, something like that. And so with the, so it means not arising. It means the his first thought, see you forever, that thought. Yeah, you are his wife, forever his wife. Yeah, no second thought. Yeah, so, and that is kindness. Yeah, and then Master Man said yesterday, the Nirvana is the state of non-attachment. Nirvana is the state of non-arising, arising thought. So our team pieces of the practice, this practice, it means non-second thought. Just one thought, first thought. It's a single thought, lasts 1,000 years. Last 1,000 years, a single thought. So with that thought, I would be the most wonderful present for all of us. And then don't look for that thought, because that thought is already in you when you were born. So that's why yesterday I mentioned unlearning wisdom. And then but yesterday I give an example. Each one of us, we already have equally no higher or no lesser. For example, now we go to the lake, and then we saw the boy drowning. What happened all of us? We have no second thought, whose boy is that, right? And then what he need, we just like jump right inside and pick up the boy up. Any one of us want to do it. So it's been, but that the first thought, the thought of full of compassion. The moment we pick up the boy up, and then we know this boy is a messy boy. That second thought come up. Oh, whether we say or not. So please stay at the first thought. The thought, nobody beats you. That thought of no skill, non-teacher can teach you. So that thought is full of compassion, truth, and beauty, and love and kindness. Thank you. That thought is unconditional, and that thought easy to find in the mother. That is the mother. So that's why we have Maria. In Buddhism, we have one thing that symbolize for this love and kindness without any condition.
Yes. May I have something about love and compassion? What is the difference? Because it is a very complicated. So first time, we should remember morality. Because be careful. Actually, this world is the world of desire. Exactly as now, winter, be careful. This is the first rule we should respect. We are not yet enlightened. We are not yet Buddha. Be careful. And this world is desire world. Be careful. And second, if we are on practice, we know about desire, about love by awareness, not consciousness. only on practice we can know exactly, correctly, is it desire, is it love or compassion. There is no formula. Of course, that it is spiritual. There is no book saying 1, 2, 3. No. So please come back to the practice. And on the practice, we will be sure this is compassion. Or this is human love, desire, for example. So I think for this reason, we should practice. We don't wait for coming to the temple for practice. And for us, religious people, we don't wait for the ceremony for practice. But we should practice maybe 24 hours a day. But impossible. Only if we are enlightened. So we should practice in daily activities. But the update, only Zen patriarchs can practice up at night. But for us, not yet. For this season, if we practice sitting meditation and daily activities, both kind complete each other. So automatically when we meet some favorable or unfavorable circumstances, automatically we are on practice. So we should change our practice so that it will be automatically. It is like we drive a car. Many times, no need to think, just automatically. We use hand, we use this. So this is, for this season, we should practice in any case, in the kitchen. Driving meditation, cooking meditation, dishwashing meditation. So as we breathe, we practice as we breathe. For this reason, we should select one method only. So automatically, as a sport, you know. When the ball come, we don't have time to think how to do. No, automatically. Because I play ping pong. And 1 month only this right hand. 1 month only like this. And next month, left hand. Now, practice should be automatically, because if we stop and we think, too late. So I think for lay people, we have also regulations, also morality. So this is very useful for morality.
Okay, well, further questions? I see a raised hand. Let's go to someone online. I see, is it Mari?
Yes. Hi, thank you for your talks. My question is about how your tradition views animals. A lot of us rely on animals or own animals. And I'm curious if you could say a few words about how you think about animals or how we should treat them according to your tradition. Thank you.
Dạ thưa thầy, đối với truyền thống vô của mình đó, thì đối với những con vật loài vật thì mình có cái nhìn gì về các con vật loài vật và mình đối xử với các con vật như thế nào?
Me?
I think it's one.
Well, I'm going to start by making trouble. You know, I think this camera should be more centered a little bit. Could you? Thank you. Let me, I'll tell you. Yeah, thank you. So, you know, Buddhism is a little bit anthropocentric. You know, it's like the animal realm is really not where we're planning to get to. And, you know, at the middle, you know, it's pigs and dogs and a rooster that symbolize greed, hatred, and delusion. Weirdly, we're the ones who are doing that. So let's not put the animals down. You know, caring for animals and not killing them is fundamental to early Buddhist ethics. Not all Buddhist traditions carry that forward. But respecting and caring for every sentient being is certainly fundamental. So even though we might think it's particularly precious to be human in Buddhism, the reason is we have the capacity to be compassionate and kind to every sentient being, including animals. And I don't see a lot of literature about people's pets. I know there's some ox herding that goes on. That's kind of like a pet, although they work too. But I take inspiration from the Avatamsaka Huayan Flower Garland Sutra, where there are so many kinds of people with so many kinds of relationships, and we can learn to honor and respect every sentient being in the way that they are, and every moment of relationship with them as an opportunity for kindness. So, in short, let's enjoy all the animals and be super nice to them.
Nice. I buy it.
Anything else? Another question. Okay, we'll go. Leslie.
Yeah. Thank you all so much. This has been a great weekend. And what a wonderful way to kind of wind it up. So my question is, when you were talking about, you know, I think most of us, if we're in this room or online, we're aspiring to not cling to things. We're aspiring to let it be and to manifest more loving kindness in our own lives. But all of us are coming into contact with people who have no desire to manifest loving kindness, who are so caught in their own desires that they are not going to go in the water to save the border. I mean, I think about the border and people crossing the water. And so what do we do for that? Is there a way, without proselytizing, is there a way to encourage others to bring more loving kindness into their own life, as we struggle in ours to do it?
Dạ, thưa thầy, câu hỏi là rất là cảm ơn quý thầy có mặt hôm nay và thầy biết rằng tất cả những người ở trong đây và những người ở trên mạng này đều mong muốn là sống một cái cuộc sống có thể xả bỏ và cái cuộc sống và cái tình yêu thương compassion đó. Bên cạnh đó thì tụi con cũng gặp những cái vị mà không có được những cái tính chất đó. Và thí dụ như câu chuyện của thầy Đăng Huy kể về một em bé rớt xuống cái hồ thì tự nhiên cái bồ đề tâm của mình sẽ muốn vớt lên và cứu, nhưng mà cũng có rất là nhiều người sẽ không muốn làm như vậy. Thì làm như thế nào để chúng con là Phật tử có thể không phải là áp đặt cái đạo của mình hoặc là truyền bá đạo của mình, nhưng mà có thể chia sẻ với những người đó để mà mình sống được những cái tính chất như vậy. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, not all of desire are bad. Yeah. Buddha teach have to desire as well. If we don't have a desire, you won't be here today. Desire means wanting. You want to come here to have some good lesson to apply to your life. If you don't have a desire today, you have another desire to go shopping or to watch TV, something, right? So it means the Buddha say we need to have a desire, but to a good desire, a desire no selfish, a desire of helping the other, a desire to benefit to the other. Many well know of people who contribute to society a lot, like Facebook, Apple, or some of the other, they have a lot of desire, you know, but those desire not for them. It's for the society to be better, like more technology in order to help people. And you see how that affects to the people, helping people mind. Yeah. So and then in our life, the key is not to drop everything. You cannot drop that. As long as you stop the world, the earth move around, drop that. But the earth still move around. You will still inherit the karma that you create. You create a good karma, you try to deny them, they will come to you. I'm sure. To look like that the way it go around, they will come around. Yeah. And so the main point how you utilize it of that, make it better. So one person he really good he earned really high paying. He live in California. And then he come to our temple with a suffering. He say, whenever I get my paycheck, I look at my pay stub. I'm unhappy because they took like about one third of from there. But this is something I unavoidable. Can you tell me what to do? Yeah. So it's tell them, well, can you take a look at your pay stub? And you tell yourself, this is my opportunity to pay it. Because, you know, if you look at the number, and then if you have knowledge, you see where the number go. The number go to help the transportation. The number go with people with disability. The number go with people, you know, do a lot of charity. And you will be happy with that. You will thankful the people taken away from this, this dollar to do the charity for you. And then what happened is, this life or next life, you will have a lot of people come to you because you create this good karma. But if you unhappy to with this outcome, they come with you a lot of people with unhappy faith. If you have, oh, this is my opportunity to support it, and then they will come to you with happy faith. So that means nobody create you. Nobody create your life. Your mind create that. Yeah. So that's why be careful of what your action. They will come back exactly like the way you create, but they come back in the happy or unhappy by your mind putting to that. Yeah. And so it's good to have a desire. But a desire to benefit to people. I have a desire as well. My desire to become a monk to help people. If I don't have a desire, I won't be. Yeah. Yeah. So conclusion, which means money is good. I don't say money is bad, but you know how to use them. You have money, you input them in a good way, you benefit a lot of people. If you want to do a good thing without money, how can you do that? See, people say, oh, money no good, fame no good, everything no good. Good or bad, it depends on your mind, depends on how you use that. So, thank you.
Adam, good. Lovely answer. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Another question.
Excuse me.
Oh, yes.
Sorry. I just had an idea, you know, because I am getting old. So sometimes I don't have time to question because I should keep my brain because old age. So now I would like to share with you my practice now. Only one thing, so we can remember very well, you know. So only come back to practice. If the problem is so delicate, so difficult, compassion or patience, etc. What the medicine? So now my solution is come back to practice, and I remember Buddha means enlightened one, means awareness. And when we come back to practice, we are aware. And in awareness, we will have solution. But the thinking and pick and choice, be careful. It is very, it takes time and maybe confusion. So for this season, nowadays, I come back to the practice, and in this practice, I am aware and I have solution. No need to say a word. Sometimes, if we say something more grave, because maybe the people misunderstood. We want to be nice, but because maybe the people is not a worker, so maybe misunderstanding. So sometimes no need to talk, just be aware. And everyone has Buddha nature. If I come back to practice, my Buddha nature is activated. Not yet manifested. If manifested, I am Buddha. No, not yet. And I have a lot of energy. So, for example, I have argument with her. She also has Buddha nature. And my energy will come to her and activate her. So she will come down. This is one of solutions.
Thank you. Well, we probably have time for one more question. Oh, I've heard there's a cultural norm where people who grew up in Western cultures are used to just jumping in and talking all the time. And oftentimes people from Asian backgrounds are waiting to be called on. So I'm just wondering if there's anyone from the Bamboo Forest tradition who'd like to ask a question. No pressure. Okay, well, anyone?
I have a quick question.
Yes.
So this is for the Venerable Thondok, from poor pronunciation. So what challenges have you faced translating English Zen books into Vietnamese, and how do you choose which books to translate?
Dạ thưa thầy, câu hỏi gia đình cho thầy, thầy có những cái khó khăn chẳng hạn nào khi thầy chuyển ngữ dịch từ quyển sách thì tiếng Anh qua tiếng Việt, và thầy có cái cách làm thế nào để chuyển ngữ dịch nào để thầy chuyển ngữ?
First, I'm looking for the titles. Is it interesting for me? For example, in our Vietnamese tradition, we don't practice koan. But I know the source of poem is Zen Master anecdote. This is a reality, not abstract, not the and very close to us, because Zen Master is closer than the Buddha. And almost koan typically Zen and in daily life. So I don't know, many people in our monastery said sister, but maybe in previous life, Japanese. I am very close to Japanese Zen masters and also Rinzai tradition. But now my headmaster teach me about koan, so I cannot practice. But I can understand koan. So for this season, I translate and I learn from Zen Master's story, and also from the sutras like Heart Sutra, Faith in Mind, and also about the koans, Blue Clifford Koan, and but because I don't practice koan, so I use these books to ameliorate, the token
to make it better,
to make my practice better, because I know no master teaching me koans, I cannot study myself. It's very dangerous. Mm-hmm. And in the Vietnamese proverb, there is a comparison.
You cannot excel with power teacher.
Yeah, because it is not the same, you know? So for this reason, koans for me is to supplement to our Zen tradition. And I think I have a good karma in this country. So these books are all very good for me. Thank you for the question.
Well, thank you, everybody. Thank you to my venerable friends. This has been really lovely to hear all these voices, your wisdom. So we're going to go back to sitting quietly really fast for like a half an hour and jumping up. Anyway, so thank you so much for sharing, and I'm going to turn it over to our Doan. Thank you.